Morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for another day that we can experience the beauty that you have created. Thank you that we can come before you here and worship you. Thank you for that ability and just the help that each one of us here has. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, that you would encourage us and just help us to learn from it. Lord, I pray that we could be encouraged to follow your command to love each other and or to believe in you and put our faith and all our trust and hope in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. So the place we're going to be reading from today is 1 John chapter 5. And I don't think there's really a theme for this chapter necessarily, but I have, in hopes of clarifying things a little, I've split it up into four different sections. So I have verses 1 through 5. True believers will love their brother, God, and his commands. 6 through 12, explain Jesus' coming in the flesh and why we should believe. 13 through 15 speaks of our confidence and our hope in Christ. And 16 through 21 talks of living free of unrighteousness and praying for brothers. So I'm just going to start in verse 1 here and read through the chapter, 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Let's go back to verse 1 here. We're just going to go through and take a closer look at each one of these verses. So John starts out by saying that those that believe in Christ are the children of God, and those that truly love God are going to love his children. This is one of the last places in the book of 1 John where he speaks of loving our brother, but a very large part of this whole book is speaking one way or another to loving each other. So I'm going to read a verse actually a couple verses from 1 John 2. Verses 9 and 10, it says, "He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." So we can see here, if we don't love our brother, we can't really love God. Let's move on to verse 2. It says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments." So, how do we know that we love our brother? By loving God and his commandments. Verse 3 says, "It's the love of God that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." So, how do we know that we love God? By keeping his commands. These three verses kind of tie together to explain what loving God means, and loving our brother and keeping his commands is a part of that, and that can be pretty hard sometimes. Then we get to the second part of verse 3. It says, "And his commandments are not grievous." Let's read verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Here it says we'll overcome our faith. We will overcome by our faith in Christ. And that is why it's not grievous, because if our obedience is really stemming from a love for God and a faith in Christ, that's not going to be something that's grievous and hard to do. Verse 5 says, "Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." So we are those that are going to overcome the world. We should, because of that, love to follow the commands he has for us. Now we're going to be moving to the next section, and remember what I had for that. That explained Jesus' coming, that he came in the flesh, and tell us why we should believe in him. So let's read in verse 6. "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." So it says Jesus came by water and blood, and there's several ways that people take this, and one is that it was speaking of Jesus' birth. I think that it's probably speaking of Jesus' baptism and death. There was a group of people at the time that John could have been addressing called the Gnostics, and they would have believed that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, and so that might be what he's addressing here when he's saying that Jesus didn't come by water only, but by water and blood, by his baptism and death on the cross. Let's move on, 7 and 8 here. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one." So in these verses, John talks about the witness of God. He speaks of the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and he's referencing the voice of God at Jesus' baptism and the death and resurrection of Jesus on the cross and the witness of the Holy Spirit. And I guess the death and resurrection would include the darkening of the sky when Jesus being crucified and the veil of the temple being rent. But these are the witnesses that we have from God. Let's move on to verse 9. It says, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son." So if we believe the witness of men, how much more should we believe God's? Because this here is God's testimony. John's telling people not to listen to the false teachers of the time, and he's telling them the witness that they have from God is greater than any witness that they have from men, and we have it here. We need to make sure we are not making the witness of men greater than God's. His word is our witness. It's our truth. Verse 10, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son." If we don't believe someone, we either think they don't know what they're talking about, or we're calling them a liar. Do we truly believe in God's witness, or are we making him a liar? And that's what John's asking here, and the same thing really applies to us. Is the way we're living like we believe and we're anticipating his return? Let's go on to verse 11. It says, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Verse 12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So the record of God is that we have received eternal life through his Son, and the Son is life. If we don't have the Son, we're without life. And that takes us to the third section, 13 through 15. And that speaks of our confidence in Christ and our hope in Christ. Let's read in verse 13. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." He's written here so that we can know that we have eternal life. He doesn't want us to just think that we have it, but he wants us to know. We can put our hope in Christ, and it's not in following the law, not through material possessions of the world, not through any of these other false teachers' teachings, but through Christ. I'm going to read 1 John 3, 2 and 3. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." There's our hope in the coming of Christ and in the eternal life that is promised here. Let's read verse 14. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." When we ask according to his will, we're heard. And it says, if we ask according to his will, we'll also have the petitions that we asked of him. I think God wants us to come to him in confidence, and that is what is being said here. If God knows our hearts, if we're coming to him out of an attitude of selfishness, I don't think he's going to honor that. It says, if we ask according to his will. Let's move on to verse 16 here. This is the last section, and it's speaking of living a life of righteousness and also praying for our brother. So 16, "If any man sees brother sin a sin which is not to death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not to death. If there is a sin unto death, and I do not say that he shall pray for it." So what is that sin unto death? I think he's speaking of a lifestyle of sin. I think he's speaking of unrepented sin. I don't think that's a specific sin there, just a someone who's living in sin there is what I would take that as. So I think when he's saying, if we see our brother as a believer sin, we should pray and God will give him life. I think the sin unto death would be an unbeliever's sin where there's no repentance and no forgiveness, and therefore it'd be a sin unto death. Verse 17, "All unrighteousness is sin, and there's a sin not unto death." Here again, he speaks of that sin unto death, and he says there is a sin not unto death. Verse 18 says, "I think the meat says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but whosoever is begotten, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." I think the sin in this verse is again talking about something that we continually do. I don't think it's saying that mistakes are never made and we're not of God if that happens, but it's saying we're supposed to be following after righteousness, not following after sin. In the last part of that verse, he says, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So I think we need to be watching, we need to be keeping ourselves, keeping ourselves in his word and away from temptation that can, the devil can ensnare us again. Verse 19 says, "We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lieth in wickedness." The whole world is swayed by the devil and what he's trying to accomplish. Verse 20, it says, "We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." We're given his spirit to guide us as Christians and to help discern the truth in a world full of confusion and evil. There's many, many normal people that can't discern the truth because there's a lot of confusion out there. We're only going to be given guidance if we want it. If we don't want it, if we want to live our own life and discern our own truth, then that's going to be the way it is. So do we want his spirit? It should be something we want and we're praying for. 21 says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." I think if anything, this verse is more important for us than it, or just as important for us as it was for Christians at any time. There's many idols being made out of people's possessions and different things that they follow after. We need to watch and make sure that it's not coming into our life, that there's not idols discerning what we see as truth, and they're not, we're not putting our confidence and hope in them, but we're putting that in Christ. That was a chapter that I had actually memorized a while back, and it was really encouraging to me. There's a lot of encouraging stuff in that, and I thought I'd share it here.